Hello and welcome to our beginner's series on Western moral philosophy. Today we return to late antique Alexandria to meet Hypatia circa 360 to 415 CE, mathematician, astronomer, and public philosopher. She held no army and issued no decrees. Her power was rarer, the ability to summon a divided city into the presence of reason, if only for an episode. Today, we'll explore Hypatia's life, her formation in her father's workshop, her years as a celebrated teacher, and the political storm that ended in her murder. And we'll consider why her example remains urgent today. Intellectual honesty, stewardship of knowledge, civic pluralism, and moral courage in public life. So settle in and imagine the colonnades of Alexandria, where a woman in a philosopher's mantle once held a city's attention with a clean diagram and a patient argument.
Hypatia was born into a household of study. Her father, Theon of Alexandria, was a mathematician and editor of classic texts. In an age when books were copied by hand and errors multiplied with each generation, Theon's workshop was part classroom, part laboratory, part scriptorium, a place where knowledge was cared for. Hypatia absorbed this habit of painstaking accuracy early, mathematics as a language for describing reality without exaggeration, commentary as an act of fidelity to truth. As she grew, she mastered not only geometry and astronomy, but also philosophy, especially the Platonic tradition then flourishing in Alexandria. By the 300s and 90s, Hypatia emerged as a public teacher. This in itself was exceptional. While many philosophers taught privately to small circles, Hypatia lectured openly, receiving students from different religious and social backgrounds. She is remembered as clear and rigorous, not a collector of marvels, but an explainer of first principles. Her former pupil Synesius of Cyrene, later a bishop, wrote to her for advice on practical and theoretical matters alike, and he thanked her for instruction and asked about instruments such as the astrolabe and hydroscope. The picture that comes down is of a philosopher who kept her hands on the world. She corrected texts, refined tables, and taught minds. Hypatia's scholarly work was largely editorial and expository. Later testimonies credit her with commentaries on Diophantus's Arithmetica and Apollonius's Conics, and with revising or teaching from astronomical works associated with Ptolemy. None of her writings survive with certainty under her own name, which can make modern readers impatient. But the labour she chose, clarifying, preserving, transmitting, was precisely what kept a fragile chain of learning from snapping. In a culture that often prizes originality over accuracy, Hypatia's choice is itself a moral stance, to serve the truth before serving one's pride. Alexandria, however, was no serene academy. It was a port city alive with trade and argument, home to communities with overlapping loyalties and rival leaders. By the early 5th century, tensions sharpened between the imperial administration and an increasingly assertive church hierarchy. Hypatia's classroom, open to all comers, became a rare neutral ground, and her influence reached beyond the lecture hall. She counseled civic leaders, including the imperial prefect Orestes. In a climate of rumour and rivalry, this visibility could be dangerous. In 415 CE, danger arrived. A mob seized Hypatia in the street and murdered her with shocking brutality. Ancient sources differ in assigning blame, but agree that the killing was political and sectarian. What did it signify? Well, not the end of ancient learning. Scholarship continued in other centres after her murder. The horrific crime showed how easily a city can turn against the very conditions that make rational life possible. Hypatia's death forces a hard reflection. Without basic norms of safety and respect, truth has no place to stand. To know Hypatia only by her death is to miss her meaning. The more correct image paints a picture of a teacher in a crowded portico, drawing a figure with chalk. A circle that becomes a proof, and then a claim about the right conduct of the mind. For Hypatia, philosophy was not a set of slogans or a badge of party. It was a discipline of clarity meant to shape conduct, thinking straight, speaking plainly, acting justly. So what are the moral themes that thread through her life and make her relevant now? Hypatia possessed a world-prized eloquence, and she prized exactness. In mathematics and astronomy, this meant starting from what can be shown, only stating what is uncertain, and stopping where evidence ends. Her commentarial work embodies a valuable restraint. She did not inflate the text, she explained. And in moral terms, this is a training in humility. She refused to bend facts to fit the mood of the crowd. In any age saturated with confident assertions and thin proofs, Hypatia's method is a rebuke and a guide of courage and integrity. It is tempting to see philosophy as a race to novelty. Hypatia reminds us that civilization also depends on maintenance. We have to continue checking calculations, correcting corrupt lines, preserving tables, teaching patiently, so that others can continue the work. Stewardship is not glamorous, but it is ethical. It treats knowledge as a common inheritance, not a personal trophy. Hypatia taught pagans and Christians, office holders and merchants, skeptics and believers. The rule of her space was simple. Reasons must be public and intelligible to anyone willing to follow the steps. That is not neutrality about truth. Rather, it is a procedural fairness about how we arrive at a conclusion. When a city agrees to be governed by public reasons rather than private coercions, disagreement can be productive rather than deadly. Hypatia's classroom is a small model of a just polity. Sources describe Hypatia's personal discipline as a life of simplicity, independence, and measured speech. In the Platonic tradition, she taught that moral growth involved ordering one's desires and governing one's attention. Self-mastery here is not self-denial for its own sake. More precisely, it is the capacity that enables truth-seeking and fair dealing. A public teacher who cannot govern herself risks becoming a partisan spectacle. Hypatia's restraint gave her words their weight. In unstable times, it is rational to withdraw, but Hypatia did not. She continued to teach in the open, to advise when asked, and to hold a standard of discourse. She valued mopery than anything. This is not recklessness. It is a judgment that truth is a public good and must sometimes be defended in public, even at cost. Her fate warns against romanticizing this courage. It also honors its necessity. Hypatia's presence in the front rank of teachers was remarkable. She did not argue for inclusion with manifestos. She practiced inclusion by being incontrovertibly excellent and by making her classroom a place where the author of an argument mattered less than the argument's strength. Contemporary readers rightly see in her a fighter for women's intellectual dignity. We should also be reminded that dignity depends on institutions and habits that protect it. Finally, Hypatia's story teaches that reason is not a free-floating essence. Reason requires scaffolding such as stability, mutual forbearance, freedom to speak without fear, and a culture that respects evidence. When those conditions erode, philosophy does not vanish in a single day. It decays into factional slogans. To honour Hypatia is not merely to praise her virtues. It is to build and maintain the civic structures that would have kept her safe. As with any life at this distance, some details are debated. Scholars disagree about the exact scope of her writings. Attribution in late antiquity is often difficult. The precise chain of command behind her murder is murky. Different sources emphasize different actors, and modern myth-making has attached to Hypatia feats and quotations that cannot be verified. Being frank about these uncertainties is part of the lesson she herself would insist on. Intellectual honesty includes saying, "We do not know." What might a reader take from Hypatia's moral example today? To speak precisely, especially when the subject is heated. Careful words are not weakness. They are a form of respect for reality and for your listener. To value the unglamorous work that keeps truth transmissible, so cite carefully, teach patiently, correct without sneer. Hypatia also reminds us to keep a neutral table for argument. Invite disagreement, enforce standards, and do not mistake volume for validity. A simple life and disciplined mind reduce the temptations that pull us off course. We need to offend the space for inquiry in institutions, communities, and everyday conversation, because once it is gone, it is hard to rebuild. As we close, picture Alexandria on a bright afternoon. The market hums, sailors' shouts roll in from the harbour, under a portico students gather, some curious, some sceptical, some merely escaping the sun. Hypatia arrives with a handful of tablets. She draws a circle and marks a chord, then another. She asks a question, waits, draws a second figure, and suddenly the proof is there for all to see. Murmurs quiet. For a brief span, rivalries fall away, and the city remembers what it can be when governed by a shared respect for reasons. When the lesson ends, Hypatia dismisses them not to applause, but to practice urging her students to live in a way that honours the clarity they have just glimpsed.
Thank you for joining this journey into the life and moral philosophy of Hypatia of Alexandria. May her example guide us toward steadier minds, fairer speech, and a civic life in which the conditions for truth are guarded as carefully as the truths themselves.